The home of the Oregon State Beavers, the Seattle Mariners, and all things sports. This is 1240 AM KEJO, Corvallis, Albany.
Welcome into the Beaver Postgame Call-In Show. I'm TJ Mathewson alongside Dale Hummel. This Beaver Postgame Call-In Show brought to you by Stutzman and Krupp Contractors, putting roofs and siding on homes and businesses in the Valley and over on the coast for nearly 60 years. Recently voted by Listener's Choice as a gold medal winner for Best Roofing Company. Call or stop by their office on Rice Street in Albany. As we welcome you into our KEJO studios in Albany, Oregon dominates the Beavers 49-14. I didn't quite think it would get out of hand quite like this, but you know, watching a few drives during this game, the speed difference, as we anticipated, would show at a point, but it started getting a little bit out of hand, and the trench play of the Oregon Ducks, I thought, was just fantastic and really sort of dictated the pace of the game and took the Oregon State defense completely out of the game. Plenty to break down with this game, and want to hear from you on the Downward Dog phone line and the University Honda text line at 541-497-5356. That's 541-497-5356, the number to text or call here on the Stutzman and Krupp Contractors Beaver Postgame Call-In Show. We've already got two teed up on the Downward Dog phone line. Let's go to Danny. Danny, you're up first on the Call-In Show. What's up?
Yeah, I'm just going to say that I thought the first half went kind of according to plan. If they hadn't shot themselves in the foot so bad in the first series, we probably would have gone to halftime almost tied, trying to take up a lot of possession time on the offense. But yeah, if you're not going to stop them, I mean, they just did whatever they wanted on offense, and that was kind of going to be the story. But the first half was kind of, actually, I thought went according to plan. It was just the second half, the wheels kind of came off the bus, and you just couldn't keep up with them.
Yeah, and you really wonder what would have happened if not only, you mentioned that first drive where the Beavers were moving the ball well and the field goal got blocked, but the third drive with Jabari where he dropped two snaps, there one of them was low, but
yeah,
still nonetheless, I mean, that's stuff you just expect in a game like that to have figured out, and it didn't happen. The freshman quarterback makes a mistake on one snap, the center snaps it at his feet, and the other one throws off an entire drive, and you know that was the difference in the first half. In the second half, they're stayed on the other side in green and yellow, and they really flexed.
Yeah, we didn't seem like we made any, and I, you know, that's not necessarily fair because we're not in there, but yeah, it sure didn't seem like. I thought the biggest thing in the second half was it almost felt like we could get some momentum, just at least stop. You know, they drove all the way down quick, and then we held them to a field goal, and then to drop that snap, I forget what it was, second or third down, but drop that snap that kind of killed that first drive for us too was just. It felt like the whole air got let out of the stadium at that point.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal. And I thought the lack of explosiveness was just so glaring on Oregon State's side. I'm going to double check here in a second, but I think the longest pass play of the day for Oregon State was only 15 yards. And it's so hard when you have to repeat
that. And it
that
was late.
Yeah, and it was, yeah.
Right? I mean, it was late in the game. I mean, that was it, yeah. Early in the game, I think the first three quarters, I would doubt they got past 10. I mean, you have to check me on that.
Sorry, 18 yards, yeah, was the longest play. And it's just so hard when you have to run that many plays to get down the field. Eventually, the defense is going to adjust to you. Do you got anything else, Danny?
Yep. No, just shout out to Andy and Mitchell.
Yeah, let's go. He's up next.
All right.
Thanks for calling in, Danny. Let's go to Andy at the Benton County Fairgrounds. Andy, how is it over there?
TJ, it's something. I'm in this, I think it's a horse stall, and I'm kind of scared to come out. I'm not exactly sure what happened. I know I rode my bike as fast as my little legs would pedal after the game, and I'm here just trying to make it through.
Okay. What else you got?
Well, yeah. Aside from just hearing your voice for some comfort, I just wanted to say, it was obviously rough. A couple things that stick out to me, and a trend is your friend in this case, definitely my enemy. But Trent Bray, as his defense has given up 30 plus points to the Ducks every time they've played, even when they've won, and that's concerning. And I think what we just kept talking about in our section was the defensive backs just playing so far off, getting picked apart. I mean, they didn't beat us over the top, really. I mean, unless you count like when Dylan Gabriel made a sandwich, ate it, threw it up, and then was able to actually vacuum that up and then throw a touchdown.
Because the pressure was a bigger issue.
But other than
the
that,
defensive
like,
back,
they just got picked apart in front of them.
I thought the defensive line and the front seven were a bigger issue than the DBs. There's only so much the defense.
I 100%. I mean, there's plenty of blame to go around. They didn't come close to touching him. I mean, they were ghosts out there. But 100%, not a lack of a pass rush for sure. But it's like they're also playing so far. And I guess it's not even that. It's okay. So you knew that. Like that was the whole game. So in the second half, why are we still sitting back on our heels and just saying, okay, keep them in front. Okay, we're going to make you, you know, okay, look out, Oregon. We're going to make you go seven plays to score instead of two. So, yippee. Like, that was a tough one to stomach. And you were right in your opening. Like, they obviously have more speed. They have more talent. And when you have more money than God, I mean, that's a possibility. But it was just hard to see that kind of lack of adjustments or trying something new. I'm sure they had their reasons for it, but it did just kind of avalanche and get out of hand, and I think that was disheartening. I don't think anyone was necessarily surprised if we would have lost today, but depending on or based on how the first half went, and then you know what happened after that, you're like, okay, that didn't need to get that far out of hand. So that's just a little bit frustrating.
Yeah.
Again, a bit of a trend. This defense seems to struggle against Oregon, which is interesting because they played pretty well against everybody else, so that was a big thing. I don't know what your thoughts are on that at all, other than you just, I mean, I know you're focused D-line, but did you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I expected the defense to have a better performance, but like as soon as you could see the pass rushers making almost no impact, it's just, I think, hard for the rest of the defense, no matter how they match up, to do their job.
Yeah,
so
right.
That's where it starts and ends.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and then a lot of self-inflicted stuff, for sure, so I get that. And then I did want to comment, you know, it's just kind of the way the day went, but, you know, you're midway through the fourth quarter and you're depressed and despondent and all you want is a Qdoba burrito. So you go to the Concourse, right? You're looking at a burrito and you say, yeah, you know what? I am gonna pop for $15 on this chicken burrito. And then you get to the front of the line and they say, we're out of chicken, but you can still have a burrito. So, of course, I say, well, at a discount, right? And they said, unfortunately, no, full price. And I said, what in the world is going on? I mean, I can take the Pac-6. I can take relegation. But I cannot take a $15 burrito with no protein, TJ.
Oh, no protein, period. I thought it was like they were offering you steak.
No, period. They only offered chicken to start. And then, yeah, they took the chicken away and said, full price for you, sir.
Well, my only suggestion, as you know, what's about to come in come out of my mouth is to call back on Monday and leave the question for Sarah.
Oh yeah, I just wonder. I do want to ask Sarah if that's just industry standard or if that's just that Qdoba up on the 200 level. But it might be industry standard. In which case, I understand.
Okay, thanks for giving us a call, Andy. Appreciate you calling as always. Looking forward to chatting next week. And thanks again for the invitation yesterday. That was great.
Absolutely, TJ. We had a blast hosting you, and thanks for doing what you do. We appreciate you.
All right. Thank you, Andy. 541-497-5356 on the Downward Dog phone line and the University Honda text line. Let's get to a couple of texts here before we get to another call and take our first break. A bit of a long text here from Ty. Very disappointing game, obviously. Beavs got manhandled in all phases, outcoached most of the game on defense. That was Mays Duck quarterback being a lefty, and their tendency to run a majority to the left side, that the Beaver defense not even contain that side. The speed option play where Gabriel ran for the touchdown, I thought that was a great play. It's an absolute crime, lacking assignment football there. Air Force may be an absolute nightmare. Yeah, yes. Not from a personal standpoint, but from scheme technique. Offensively, like Trent Walker, but not a primary guy. Reddix and Willis have more twitch and ability to get yards after the catch. Oh. More, I think, is a better word. Very concerned that there's still no Darius Clemens yet, not using the tight ends most of the game. Well, they did target the tight ends. They just didn't make all that much impact. Like, I think really the thing that I came away concerned with most of the game, there's two things. First of all, like, looking at it on paper and you match up like the recruiting profiles, which is a very basic layman's terms way of measuring up talent on each side. But when the Oregon State defense was out there and the Oregon offense was out there, and you just look at the two sides and you say, well, this is a mismatch. Okay, can we balance it? No, we can't. So that's number one. Number two, in a game where the Oregon State offense says, we're going to open up the playbook a little bit. We're going to try and, you know, make it more of a difference and add a little bit more take a little bit more out of the playbook to throw at the Ducks. Well, I don't know to what extent they did that, but the fact they didn't have enough explosiveness at any level at the running back spot where they really couldn't break free at all. The two longest runs, the only two runs of the day that were over 10 yards were both from Javonte McCoy, not even from your own running backs who are the best skilled players on this offense. And then the receivers, there was no threat of explosiveness out wide for whether it would be scheme or just athleticism from the players themselves. And that was, I thought, really concerning against a team at that level. If we're going to say there's a chance for this team to make the college football playoff, you know, seeing what we saw today was, I would say, a step back in that direction. Like, just unfortunate and concerning on that part. But luckily for the Bees, there's a lot of time left. There's still some players to get healthy, like Darius Clemens, and there's plenty of growth to be had. Let's get back to the phone lines. What do we got? Dolan here on the Downward Dog phone line. What's up, Dolan?
Hey, yeah. I honestly, looking at the offensive side of things, that kind of felt like, I know we only put up 14 points. It seemed like we were moving the ball well. It felt like we had a little more passing game than we usually did. Just defensively, I mean, we didn't stop them once. They scored points on every single drive. Where do you think that kind of came from? I was expecting the defense to be the strong suitor today. So where do you kind of think that issue kind of started out at?
Lack of talent. Like, and lack of pass rush, really. It was the determining factor, just talent and ability to get to the quarterback along the defensive line. Because as Andy put it, I mean, Dylan Gabriel could have cooked a whole meal back there today.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that, but to your point of lack of pass rush, it seemed like every play that Landing was drawn up was, you know, 2.5 seconds ball out, and that credit is, you know, his strength of drawing that up. But it just seemed like we didn't put any pressure on any of their receivers. You know, it just seemed like every quick route was open right away. We didn't make any adjustments defensively. Do you think that it was just open? Do you think it just out-schemed us, or do you think it was a lack of adjustment on our end?
All of the above. I thought it was a group effort today. It's like, with the score the way it was and watching how Oregon manhandled you, I really do think there's blame to go all around in that aspect.
Yeah, as a fan, I was in the stadium today. That was the most frustrating part. It seemed like there was some lack of adjustments kind of made after the second drive. I'm okay with getting burned, you know, underneath, you know, for the first drive, but it seemed like the second and third drives, the same mistakes or lack of mistakes. It was tough to witness as a fan there.
Yeah. It is definitely pretty tough. You got anything else?
Nope, that'll do it.
Appreciate the call. 541-497-5356, the number to text or call on the University Honda text line or the Downward Dog phone line. Let's take a break. Looking forward to more interaction here on the Stutzman and Krupp Contractors Beaver Postgame Call-In Show. We'll step aside and come back after this break. Continuing on the Beaver Postgame Call-In Show, brought to you all season long by our friends at Stutzman and Krupp Contractors. They offer an emergency repair service 7 days a week. Call or stop by their office on Rice Street in Albany. Stutzman and Krupp Contractors, they do it right. The Beavers fall to the Oregon Ducks 49-14. And looking for your input and reaction here on the Beaver Postgame Call-In Show. The number to text or call is 541-497-5356 on the University Honda text line and the Downward Dog phone line. Ryan is on the Downward Dog phone line. Ryan, what's up?
Excuse me. Hey, TJ, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I've been better, but, you know, I would much rather lose a Beav than win as a Duck any day. So I'm going to hang my hat on that, first of all.
Can we say that's a bit of a spin zone, but a fair one?
Sure. Okay. Absolutely. Is there a little bit of delusion in there? I'm sure there is.
Okay.
I kind of disagree with the previous caller that he said that it was a lot of quick throws. I don't think it was. I mean, there were some, but he was standing back there for years just able to throw the ball. It seems to me like our upfront guys just don't have the push.
No.
But do you think that Boise State and Idaho do?
So it's an interesting conversation. The Boise State game comes around, I think I'll get a better idea of like what Boise State is. I was talking with Brock Heward at halftime. We're catching up a little bit. And he was noting to me, he thought Boise State had a much better defensive front than Oregon State does. Therefore, he was not as surprised how well they played last week opposed to how Oregon State played this week.
Well, they must, because, I mean, we had zero pressure. I don't think he was touched, Dylan Gabriel.
No, I don't think so. I was, like, actually trying to think during the game if he was pressured at all. Like a PFF pressure. Was there one?
I think he was flushed out of the pocket maybe once or twice and kind of did a short run, but it wasn't anything he couldn't handle. But that's about it, from what I remember.
Yeah. Anything else, Ryan?
I'm not mad at Giovanni's play, other than that first drive where he probably should have thrown a pick. But other than that, I think he's making smart choices. He can really escape pressure. I trust him to throw these simple balls. He looked better than DJ looked today, I'll say that much.
Bar's not really high there, but you're absolutely right. I would love to see Giovanni, again, if there was just a little bit more explosiveness out wide and let him sort of test his arm deep a little bit, but those options weren't there for him today, so he just had to sort of manage all those short passes, which was, you know, kind of disappointing for him, but he managed with what it was. You got anything else, Ryan?
Yep. A couple more really short things.
First of all,
I thought the officiating was one-sided. I don't think that it would have changed necessarily the outcome of the game, but there were missed calls for the Beavers that, you know, some holds and stuff like that just didn't get called. It's just frustrating that even has to be a factor. But again, I don't think it changed the outcome of the game. And then lastly, I had a Ducks fan ask me where Section 232 was, and I told him it was in Albany. And the sad part is he probably doesn't even know where Albany is.
Well, that's good. Again, at least you got a win in that factor today.
That's all I got. Thanks, CJ.
Thank you, Ryan. 541-497-5356. Oh, actually, there's the Duck fan outside the window walking by the studio. Isn't that funny? It's funny how that all works. I'm kidding, Dale. 541-497-5356, the number to text or call. On the Downward Dog phone line and the University Honda text line, Roscoe is on the line now. Roscoe, what's up?
Hey, DJ. Well, that was fairly depressing.
Yeah, that's putting it lightly.
I guess we need to look forward. Do we get two byes in the season now?
Yep. And you get a bad team next week. Purdue got their teeth kicked in today. So...
Yeah,
I would feel a lot better.
They're revenge on us.
They're very well will be a Big Ten win next week. I can't guarantee anything.
You know, Ben Goldbranson, he really deserves the attaboy for loyalty. You know, I'm surprised they didn't put him in there for a while.
Why would they put him in?
Oh, because we weren't going to win, and he could get some reps and, you know.
Well, I'd rather, personally, Roscoe, I'd rather Jabari go in because you want him to get some reps with the offense and stay.
Yeah, but Goldbranson, he really deserves, like I say, the award for loyalty. So I'm looking at the schedule here. The last time I wrote it down, week 8, 9, and 11, the game times are still to be announced. Do you have any updates on those?
I do not, no. I would imagine those will be made 2 weeks or 1 week before.
Yeah, it'd be nice to give people a little heads up.
Well, I would phone the Pac-12 office and ask them.
I'll just get them on the horn.
Yeah.
All right, well, we got some work to do Monday morning.
Thank you, Roscoe. Appreciate the call. And we'll take a break on that note. 541-497-5356. Want to see your texts? Want to see your calls? Want to hear your reaction a disappointing day at Research Stadium, but still plenty of season left for the Beavs as they fall to the Ducks 49-14. We'll be back with more of the Stutzman and Krupp Contractors Beaver postgame call-in show after this timeout. Welcome back into our KEJO studios in Albany. The Beaver postgame call-in show brought to you by Stutzman and Krupp Contractors has been putting roofs and siding on homes and businesses in the valley and over on the coast for nearly 60 years. They offer an emergency repair service 7 days a week. Callers stop by their office on Rice Street in Albany. Stutzman and Krupp Contractors, they do it right. Want to hear your reaction to the Beavers falling at home at Research Stadium to the Oregon Ducks, 49-14. The number to text or call is 541-497-5356. So you'll either be on the University Honda text line or the Downward Dog phone line. We have two very lonely phone lines right now that have no one calling into them and would love to hear your reaction. 497-5356. Want to get to a couple of texts here, but let me just rattle off a couple more things just to come back to the middle of my main takeaway from today. Number one, if we're just going to sort of simplify it, unfortunately, looking out there on the team, I was optimistic the Beavers had a chance if they played well today to beat Oregon. Revisiting that thought in hindsight, I don't think they could have beat Oregon even if they played their best today. I just think it would have been way too tough, way too much of a talent mismatch. And ultimately, whether the Beavers even made every single right call on defense, it would have been really hard for the Beavers to defend against Oregon's offense up and down the field for four quarters. I mean, just really difficult. And when it comes to the talent disparity, you know, there's always been a talent disparity, especially in the last 20 years in this rivalry of Oregon getting better players because of Nike money, et cetera. And like, that makes sense. Like, it certainly makes sense. Also need to remember, this is Trent Bray's third game as head coach. And sometimes, like, if Trent will most likely not get the level of talent that Oregon gets. It could happen, but most likely not, because that's not the kind of players Oregon State usually gets. However, he could certainly raise the talent level from where it's at, but that takes time with what Oregon State's going to have to do. It's going to be multiple transfer classes. It's going to need to be multiple high school recruiting classes. It's going to take some time. Yeah, there's a lot of good players that Jonathan left here, but for the imprint Trent really wants to leave on this program, like, it is still only three games in, and sometimes there are tough losses in year number one. I'm going to try and summarize, Tyler. I appreciate your text, but it's about 500 words. And he puts at the top, I'm going to preface this quote-unquote rant by saying Oregon is extremely talented. So let's just run through a couple of his main points. Unacceptable performance. Disappointed in the special teams. I was disappointed in the special teams today, too. I want to shout out Merle Jr. And Andy and Mitchell for when we were chatting before the high school game yesterday, telling me, you got to watch out for the special teams, and they were right. So congratulations, guys. You were absolutely right. Oregon could do pretty much whatever they wanted. It's unreasonable to expect the Beavers to dominate a team like Oregon, but it shouldn't be too much to ask that they can compete with Oregon. He is upset about everything, about most of these things. Won't stop him from coming to games. Knew it was at stake, and The Beavers knew what was at stake and still had this performance. So thank you for that text, Tyler. Man, summarizing is not easy. But thank you for that, text, Tyler. Curtin Philomath texting in. A win would have been awesome. It's only one loss to a very good team, and there's still reason to be optimistic about the season. That being said, sadly believe the result will be what all future Civil Wars will look like, given the discrepancy in funding and talent. I think it's hard to predict the future. I don't think we can totally say something is set in stone for the future. But maybe at least for the next TV deal. And there's still a lot up in the air for Oregon State's future when it comes to future TV deals, and revenues, and increase in funding to the football program, etc. So we can't say that for certain. But we could say for the next television deal with the Big Ten and where Oregon is situated right now, I think that's a fair take. 497-5356 on the Downward Dog phone line and the University Honda text line. John is up next on the Downward Dog phone line. John, welcome into the Beaver postgame call-in show.
Hey, thank you very much. I was at the game. And like many Beaver fans, I think, you know, we're hoping it wasn't going to be quite the reality check that we got, and it was. And I heard someone calling your show here talking about adjustments and not happy. I mean, look, that game was not about adjustments. I mean, the only thing I was upset about relative to any coaching decision was I thought first possession when they had that 4th-and-1 deep in Oregon territory with the Ducks being such a heavy favorite, I thought you had to smack him in the mouth there. I thought you had to go for that. So I would have liked to see him go for it, but that wasn't going to make a difference. And then the only other thing was I couldn't figure out why they brought in Johnson there from McCoy on that series, and then that was their first 3-and-out, and they didn't lose momentum there. And I don't know if McCoy was hurt or dinged up a little bit, but that was just not, I don't think, a great
that was
spot
scripted
to bring
and planned.
Johnson in to get reps.
They're planning him like Chiles from last year to bring him in every third drive.
Yeah, I just don't think that was the part. I mean, I understand that, but that was a bit. But having said all that, this game was not about coaching. This was about what we saw today was middle of the road, Mountain West, which is what we are, unfortunately, versus a top-tier Power 5 program. And it was all about line of scrimmage. That game was controlled and dominated by the Ducks on the line of scrimmage. And it wasn't even close. I mean, it was men against boys on that line of scrimmage. And that's, you know, sad reality, part of the whole going up to the Pac-12 and where we're at right now and losing all the players in the transfer portal. I mean, that's just reality. I mean, they just dominated. And the Beavers, to their credit, played a great first half, hung in there, faded punches with them, but they just didn't have the, you know, ability to hang in there for four quarters against a much superior Duck offensive and defensive line. I hate saying that, but that's just reality. And unfortunately, that's kind of the position we're in, and it's going to take some time for the Beavers to rebuild this thing.
One last question for you, John, and I think I'll sort of try and dive into this subject after you hang up. Do you think they should continue giving Jabari that third drive, even if it's a good first couple of drives for Giovanni in a big game like they'll have coming up down the stretch against Wazoo, against UNLV, against Boise State? Do you think that's still a good idea?
No, I don't think it's a good idea to have any plan. Like, oh, we're going to give him the third drive, second drive, fourth drive, sixth drive, you know. No, I mean, I think, do you want to get him in there? Yes, but I think you got to use, in that case, like, look at what happened in that drive. He came in, fumbled the snap, they go 3-and-out, was the first 3-and-out for the offense, and they needed to put together another drive there because of the Ducks' firepower and offense. So I thought it hurt them in that scenario. But again, I love Bray, right? So I'm not questioning coaching at all today. I mean, what we saw, I agree with your comment before you brought me on, they could have played a perfect game. I believe the Beavers could have played a perfect game and still not have been good enough to beat Oregon today. I hate saying that because I hate the Ducks, but that's reality, and that's the unfortunate situation. So I love what Bray's doing, they're doing the best they can, but it's going to take some time to rebuild this thing.
Certainly. Thanks for the call, John. 541-497-5356. The number to call or text on the Downward Dog phone line and the University Honda text line. Let's go to Dave in Tumwater here on the Beaver postgame call-in show. What's up, Dave?
Well, hi, TJ. First, I appreciate your telling it like it is tenor to the show. That's always healthy. First, a shout-out and congratulations to the Coots, Coach Dickert, Jack Thompson, Alex Brink, Brian Leaf, for a great victory in Seattle. They're kind of our kindred brothers. You know, for years, decades, really, well, 20 years, I'd say, marvel at the loyalty SEC fans, at least they feigned loyalty to the conference they were in, as opposed to necessarily, well, they were just loyal to their fellow conference mates. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I've already made the shift, TJ. I already find myself of a mood. Well, I always liked the Cougs. We were able to hear the end of that game as we were leaving Corvallis. But I already find myself of a mind to be rooting for Colorado State and Boise State. Never was particularly fond of Fresno, but I think I can get there. Now, I'm going to save it for Monday's show with John and Mike, but I ran into President Murphy at halftime, and that encounter was pure gold. But as I say, I will save that for when I talk to Mike and John Monday or Tuesday, whenever it is. So, obviously disappointing. Jim Wilson, as he so often does, he doesn't say a lot, but he's, like I've said many times before, he's the E.F. Hutton of football analysis. He said sometime in his post-game analysis, Oregon State almost had to play the perfect game to win. And they got behind the sticks with the first play from scrimmage. I mean, it seems to me not scoring on that first drive really hurt. And the discrepancy in talent is pretty obvious. We've seen that before through the years. But I take, and I think Beaver Nation as a whole should take, great comfort from the modeled behavior and comportment and success of the Cougs up north here in my home state of Washington today. That's a good sign, but I guess I'll just end with this. We have enough plots on the graph, and I remember that from my 10th grade geometry class, TJ. We have enough plots on the graph to indicate, as long as, like one of the players said in the post-game interview, the season's young yet, but nonetheless, given where how the Cougs are playing, how they did today, how Boise State played against the team we play today, in their place and should have won, for this season to be ultimately successful, we're going to need to win 5 of the next 7 games to get 6 wins to a bowl game. So next week's game is looming particularly large in that regard. We got to get 5 out of the next 7, hopefully starting with Purdue next week. So that's what I got for starters. Actually, I do have one more thing.
Go ahead, Dave.
Since John and Mike, a week ago, not this past week, but the week before, gave all of us fans a kind of dispensation to razz, boo, ridicule opposing players, but now because they're getting it like any other professional player. Mm-hmm. They're not amateurs.
They're fair game for
criticism. So I was glad to see that there were enough astute people in the stands today to boo Atticus Sappington every time his name was mentioned over the PA. The damn thing is, I just wish he wasn't as good a kicker as he is. And clearly, the missed field goal put a real bad vibe into the game. And that's got to improve over the long haul, if not this season. So I hope there's a few things there worth cogitating on, team.
Sir, I'm going to go to your Atticus point. I think if I was Atticus, I'd get an absolute kick out of it. Like, he knows what the situation is. If he went there expecting to not get booed and not sort of prepare himself for the situation where you just kind of smirk at it, then he probably didn't think enough about it. But I think he was fully well expecting what was going to happen when he came back. But like, at the end of the world, if you're an athlete, especially playing major college football or any of the major professional sports, like, getting booed is just part of business. It's going to happen.
Yeah, well, he had it coming, and I'm glad it was dished out. So apparently, Brock Heward, your buddy, congratulations on that niche you've established there, by the way, TJ.
Thank you, Dave.
Apparently, Brock Heward found, somebody texted me that Heward was getting a kick out of that. So we had a national TV audience picked up on it. And, you know, you hate to end on a negative 5 like that, but it was a negative day, except for the Cougs. Go Cougs.
Well, appreciate the call, Dave. Always appreciate your contributions to this show. 541-497-5356. The Stutzman and Krupp Contractors Beaver Postgame Call-In Show. Let's get to a couple of texts before we get to our final break here. I have a couple of texts that are cracking me up. I'll say cracking me up. So S has texted me because I named him Ty, but he said thank you to end his last text, and I took that as Ty. So instead, his name is S, as he's texted in before. But just the duality of the next two texts I'm going to read, like, perfectly encapsulate fandom. And, like, and I mean this in no disrespect to either texter. So S texts in and says, TJ, I'm going to call you on your idea that Oregon is just too good, even if the Beavs played perfect because of talent differential. So you're saying that Idaho and Boise State have matching talent, rhetorical, because both of those teams could get stops, pressure, and also score on Oregon. Coaching scheme technique can help a team compete with anyone. If the other team, like, I'm not saying Oregon plays terrible, Beavers play a perfect game, Oregon still wins. That's not what I said. How Oregon played today, if Oregon State played a perfect game, wouldn't have mattered, I don't think. If Oregon played like they did against Idaho and the Beavers played a perfect game today, well, that's different, I think. That's the scenario I'm putting. But also, ultimately, though, I still think you can coach and scheme all you want. If the Beavers played a perfect game and they played Georgia, who was playing like a 50th percentile like efficiency game on their end, would the Beavers beat them? No, they wouldn't. So, like, coaching and scheming really does only get you so far. The talent has to match up on the field. I appreciate the text, though, S. I feel like if you need to push back, like, I'm all in on that. Like, all in on that. And a different texter comes in on the other side of this that says Aaron Brooks could have played quarterback for Oregon today and they would have won. Gabriel was challenged zero times. So would have rather been beaten deep in the second half than underneath eight times in a row. In reference to how Oregon State was playing Oregon's wide receivers. If you want to get your calls in, we'll have one more break to take, but now would be the time. 541-497-5356 on the Downward Dog phone line and the University Honda text line. Couple more texts before we get into our final timeout. So a text here, don't have a name on it, ran double the number of plays than they did. The lack of conversion to points was frustrating, and I tell you that, excuse me, back to the lack of explosiveness on the offense. You have to run more plays if you're not getting those chunk yardage with some of your plays. Blame the coaching staff more than the players. Play calling was horrible, running up the middle and short passes to running backs over the middle that were almost intercepted over and over and over again was extremely annoying. We have a quarterback who can run and wide open receivers. We need to use them and design plays for them. Come on, Beaver coaches. Thank you for that text. Austin texting in. I don't know who he's talking about. Why didn't D's get any? That's funny. Okay, Austin. Funny. You almost got me. I almost said it. But you're not going to do it. We have to laugh. Thank you for that text, Austin. We'll get that phone call after we take a break. Thank you. I'm going to need to recover after that one. Thanks a lot, Austin. Oh, this will be a perfect one to finish out the show on after we take this break. Man, okay. I'm gonna need to recover from that. We're going to take a break. And I'm going to contemplate life. The Stutzman and Krupp Contractor Beaver post-game call-in show continues after this. Final segment on the Beaver post-game call-in show. TJ Mathewson alongside Dale Hummel. This is the Stutzman and Krupp Contractors Beaver post-game call-in show. They offer an emergency repair service 7 days a week. Callers stop by their office on Rye Street in Albany, recently voted by Listener's Choice as a gold medal winner for Best Roofing Company. Want to hear your reaction to the Beavers' 49-14 loss to the Oregon Ducks at Research Stadium earlier this afternoon? 497-5356 on the Downward Dog phone line and the University Honda text line. Merrill Jr.'s on the phone line. We'll go chat with him. Merrill, what's up?
TJ, I need you to hold me.
You called the special teams, man. You nailed that. Like, first drive.
TJ, I can't do it, man, anymore. I can't do it. 30 plays or 15 plays, $300K. That's what this guy gets. And what really bugs me is, let's just, Atticus is our backup kicker. Okay, he was our backup kicker all of last year. Only started because Everett got hurt, right? But why was he our backup kicker? Everett's terrible. What a momentum deflator. It's one thing even to miss the field goal, but to get it blocked, Ducks are all hyped, you know, and we can't snap the ball. is there another team in FBS that has a punt blocked and a kick blocked? Oh, and given up a safety in three games?
Wrong person to ask that.
It's bad, TJ. And then it's like we got Zach Card taking the ball 7 yards. 7 yards.
Yeah,
deep.
I could not believe what Zach Card was doing on those kickoffs. I could not. And he did it twice.
It's 15 plays a game, TJ, and I'm losing my patience here. I mean, the guy's 100K, and that just bugs me.
I really think you need to apply
obviously
for
it didn't
a special
lose
teams
the whole
coach
game,
somewhere.
You know?
I really think you need to do that. Would you only be the special teams coach here, or could you go do it elsewhere? Like, brush up a little bit.
I could go do it elsewhere, because, I mean, I could do it better than that. I could say, okay, we're going to lock in 15 plays here. That's it.
Oh, my goodness.
And then, okay, I don't even want to talk about we give them 2 points for free. That's all they do that every time, and it's simple. It's a numbers game every single time. If they have the numbers, they hike it. If they don't, they don't. All it is a numbers game. There's no other read to it. And that to not be prepared for that, to let them do it, I don't know, Teach, that it gets me, and we have an issue with that. And it's a detail issue, and I'm done about the special teams. It's so annoying. Yes, I can take my victory lap, but I don't want to. I'm depressed. What I am more depressed on, Andy brought it up earlier. We talked about it the other night. Why does Bray just decide not to coach when he plays the Ducks on defense? I mean, we have a different identity on defense. We don't bring pressure. I thought we were a pressure team. We didn't do it at all. Yes, they had a talent gap on our D-line, correct. Why aren't we bringing pressure? They didn't beat us once over the top. And it's like that's what Idaho did. That's what Boise State did. Watch the film. Disturbing afterwards. Melvin Jordan says on the post-game show, we need to, quote-unquote, respect our opponent more and prepare better during the week. I've never heard a player say that. It's always, oh, well, we prepared. We did. Even if it's player coach talk, whatever, right? But he says that. What were we doing this whole week? Getting all the chicken so Andy couldn't?
especially given the approach to this week, which was like, oh, we need to just treat this as another game, but maybe needed a little bit more.
It's one thing to lose, you know. That's why the military academies are fun to watch sometimes, because they just do the same thing. And yes, they win some games and they lose some games, but they have their identity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's disappointing to me to lose with being soft on defense. I mean, that's all I know what to say, soft.
Yeah, it was soft.
Soft in coverage and soft in bringing no pressure.
And they didn't
tackle.
I mean,
Gabriel's good when he has time. I mean, just like I would be good if I had time.
Yeah, yep.
And it just, that's what I don't like. This playing this not our identity at all. And then, yeah, a guy getting paid $300K who can't execute anything. And for 15 plays, and that's it. So the Ducks are, I mean, they woke up. I'll give them that. You know, they got skill players on the outside, but I don't know. I don't really, they're always going to have more talent than us, and they always have had more talent than us. But it's when we've actually executed and stick to our identity that we beat them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's times where we don't stick to our identity, it bugs me. And then, you know, we throw in our QB who, for no reason. So, like, for the Childs, you know, we did Childs last year, now we're doing Johnson this year, right? I get it. Childs went in because DJ was not good. He had the thing on the third drive, but he was, like, at the same level as him, in my opinion, right?
Yeah.
So we wanted to see what he had. Javonte McCoy is a good QB. And it's obvious, yeah, Jabari Johnson could have that. He's got the speed. He's got all these, you know, five-star qualities, right? But dropping the snap two straight times, come on.
Yeah, that was
bad. I mean, like, we can't do that.
That was bad. It was bad sequencing. But now that they've done it, they're going to have to, no matter who they're playing, I'm going to need them to be consistent on that the rest of the season.
I think it would look a lot worse
if they pulled it back.
I agree. It's just, you know, it's just a bummer because we miss getting that field goal blocked and that subsequent drives. We couldn't play our identity of football, as in
hold the ball and run the clock out. I mean, really, that's what we've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
And which is fine. We couldn't do that because we got down because of stuff like that. You can't. We had a three and out drive with the two fumbles or with the two drop snaps, and then we had a block kick, and then we were down only eight at half. We could have easily been, well, if we had a special teams coach at all, we wouldn't have allowed a 2-point, and we would have kicked a field goal correctly. So who knows? Yeah. It just is those momentum things. And I find, and that's my biggest thing, is like the momentum things. You're at Reser. We couldn't even get excited because I think they had their first third down like in the second half.
Yeah.
And it's like, I want the chainsaw. I want all that. But can't do it because we couldn't even get him into a third down. So it's like, you know, that was the most disappointing, is we just play a shell of ourselves on defense. I'm okay with getting beat by better athletes when that's clearly what's going on, right? I really didn't think that was clearly what was going on. Like, they have more talent and depth, I would say. I'm not convinced that every single athlete, 1 to 11 starters, are better than every single athlete or more athletic than ours. Mm-hmm. There's definitely more. But it's like, when you don't play to your identity, it just, it's bad. And it doesn't feel good as a fan. It's like, everybody's fine with losing if you just play who you are, right?
Yeah.
But that's, it sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah, it does suck. It's not fun, Merrill. Do you got anything else?
Just, I mean, all typical Duck fans in the stadium today. Cheeto dust on their fingers, vaping all over the place. And I realized this was harder for me than last year. And you can replay my call again on Monday, hopefully. But it was harder for me than last year because, again, the identity thing. And last year, I was so fuzzy with vape clouds and light shows and being distracted at Austin. I didn't really know what was happening when we were losing. So this was harder for me because there are no vape clouds at Reser, thank God. Thanks for that, Sarah. No vape clouds. I love it. Okay. But then the Duck fans come in, they smell, they just, you can just tell, typical Duck fan, TDF right there, right? And you're just like, I want to get this stench off me. I need to go take a shower right now. I did have a Qdoba burrito, $9.95. It had tons of chicken. They like gave me double chicken without even it. Be asking for it and didn't charge me for it.
Sounds like you should have saved some for Andy.
Yeah, $9.95 too. Wasn't $15 like him. And I got loads of queso. So anyways, I had to go take a shower. I got some vape on me from the Duck fans. So talk later. Thanks for taking my call, TJ. Good to see you this weekend. Goodbye.
Yes, thank you, Merle. Good seeing you too this weekend. 541-497-5356 on the Stutzman and Krupp Contractors Beaver postgame call. I think John is second wind, and he's calling back. John, what's up?
Hey, I forget the name of the guy that was just down with you when he said he couldn't agree that they were better at every position. I mean, just take offense. Oregon's offense. At what position? The only position I can even think of where it's close is running back. Gordon James, Cam and Hankerson are close. But I got, you know, based on what James did last year.
Josh Gray, too, on the line. This year,
I mean, so maybe that's, okay, let's start at quarterback.
Yeah.
Who are you going to take? Dylan Gabriel?
Take Dylan Gabriel, yeah.
I mean, and I can't go name for name in the O-line because I don't know all those guys. But look at the tight end. Look at Ferguson, okay? Three for Oregon. You going to tell Caulfield over Ferguson? No. Dez Johnson over, like, we've got some nice, like, Walker is a nice possession receiver. We've got nobody like a Bolden from last year. We got no game breakers out there. So, like, literally offensively, I mean, so the last caller was either doing drugs or doesn't know football. Oregon offensively is better at every position than the Beavers offensively. Maybe running back is close, but that's it.
Wow.
And that's all I got. I just had to call back. That's ridiculous. Like, the talent level is so disparate. Offense to offense, it wasn't close.
Well, thank you for the call, John. Wow. I would say if there was a player, I'm sure Oregon would take in a heartbeat. I'm sure they would take Josh Gray. Josh Gray's going to be in the NFL next year as a guard. So I think they would absolutely take Josh Gray and put them on their offensive line and start him. But the rest of the guys, John's got a point. 541-497-5356. Who we got? Ray. It's on the Downward Dog phone line. What's up, Ray?
Oh, I just wanted to give a big thumbs up to the Duck kicker who just went perfect today and just spoiled all these Beaver fans. Bad day. So sorry. But thank you, Beavers, for
we got a Duck fan here?
Covering. No, not really. Every time the kicker came on the field, Beaver fans were sour. And
well, I think they had reason to be.
Good job, Duck kicker.
I think they had reason to be. I get why Atticus left, but that doesn't mean it can't be true on both sides.
Hey, so there. Thanks for covering for me, Beavers. Loved it.
Okay, appreciate the call. Thank you, Ray. Do we got one more? All right, coming up here on 6 o'clock, what do we got? Dan in Beaverton. What's up, Dan? Dan, you there?
Yeah, I am.
All right, what's up?
I thought we had a chance to compete in the first half, but we shot ourselves in the foot. I mean, all of those procedure play penalties, and then, of course, special teams playing like special ed, and then we dug ourselves a hole, and in the second half, I thought we knew the weakness on the Ducks offense was on the right side. So, of course, they moved everything to the left, and their speed and their speed beat us. There's no doubt about that. Their speed and athleticism beat us.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought we had a chance, and anyway, let it go, and it's just second half was a shame. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the call, Dan. 541-497-5356. That athleticism was really, I think, an issue. That was my biggest concern, especially the speed on the outside coming into this game. Wow. Another caller coming in. We're still rolling. I know Andy's called back. All right, let's get Andy on. Andy, another second win. What's going on?
Well, I got a call back after, what is that, Ray? Nice call, Ray. Okay. That's so awesome. You, Ray, are a Bulldog fan. Congratulations. Because you know what you did? You called in, you tried to be a troll, and you won't even say it with your chest, like every Duck fan. You ask him, are you a Duck fan? Oh, not really. I'm just excited Atticus kicked 3 field goals. Thanks for covering. Get out of here, Ray. Go drive I-5 like you probably do, because you're not a real Oregonian. You don't know what Highway 99 is. And get the hell out of town, okay? You're fake. Say it with your chest if you're a Duck fan on our show. Goodbye, Ray. Goodbye, TJ.
Thank you, Andy. Oh, my goodness. I think that's a good way to wrap up this show. We've had shots fired all over the place, multiple callbacks. I love a good rivalry week. I really do. Appreciate everyone contributing. Appreciate Stutzman and Krupp Contractors for sponsoring this Beaver postgame call-in show. And appreciate all the contributions on the Downward Dog phone line and the University Honda text line. For Dale Hummel, I'm TJ Mathewson. We'll talk to you a week from today when Purdue comes to town to play the Beavers. Until next time, this is the Beaver Postgame Call-In Show on 1240 Joe Radio and 93.7 FM.